Welcome to the Explore Words, Discover Worlds podcast, presented by Bradford Literature Festival. In this episode, enjoy dynamic poetry readings which explore some of the biggest issues in the world today, with poets Ralph Dartford and Tazim Zaidar and Matt Abbott. Recorded live at the 2024 Bradford Literature Festival, hear powerful poetry and clever wordplay that is sure to fill you with inspiration and creative energy.
Hello. You all right? Good. Fantastic. I've just had a 1,000 year sevens, so like this is nice, to be honest. This is nice and chill. Welcome to Sonnets and Sarnies as part of Bradford Literature Festival. Are you excited for a little bit of poetry on your lunch break? Good. My name is Matt Abbott. I am going to be hosting this afternoon's event, but I'm also going to do a set first. So I'll be sharing some poems, and then I shall introduce Tasneem Ziada, and then I'll introduce Ralph Dartford, and we're all going to have a wonderful time. And then afterwards, you can rush over there and buy books from Waterstones. That is the plan. But not mine, because I didn't bring any, and it came out 5 years ago, and I've dropped the ball. Okay, look, we all know what day it is today. I'm just going to get it out of the way. There's an elephant right there. I'm just going to talk about it, and then we can all move on. Okay. In my box, I'll draw a breath. Heavy as shopping bags in the rain, as eyelids on sleepless shifts shoulder in survival. In my box, I'll draw a triangle, canary yellow, thick black borders. I'll sketch a skull and crossbones in the triangle in the box. Through my box, I'll draw a picket line, a row of angry nurses, of train guards, firefighters, postal workers, teachers. Around my box, I'll draw a solemn queue, a centipede of bodies, heads bowed for handouts at the food bank. In my box, I'll write a list of Conservative MPs who'd have been sacked, blacklisted in any other profession. In my box, I'll list for pledges honoured by Keir Starmer. For this, I will require precisely nothing. In my box, I'll draw a tower block, a death trap, an inferno, a body bag in a care home, a dinghy capsized. In my box, I'll start a riot. In my box, I'll swipe my thumb. In my box, I'll write an essay entitled The Less Said, The Better. In their box, they are sleeping. In their box, they are buried. In boxes, everywhere, they are writing SOS. In my box, I'll draw a map of Palestinian territories. I'll identify why refugees are palatable from Ukraine. In my box, I'll write a receipt for arms sold to Saudi. Next to that, the number for donations to Comic Relief. In their box, they are freezing. In theirs, they're untouchable. In your box, place a cross next to the candidate of your choice. In your box, support the establishment or be silent. Thank you. Look, anti-establishment, right? But not that anti-establishment, not those guys, just anti-establishment. Not anti-establishment, anti-establishment. Not, don't throw a milkshake at me. I don't mean that. I just mean anti-establishment, but not, yeah, it's tricky, innit? So I started writing poetry when I was 17, and I got excited about it, and I started uploading poems to MySpace Music. Remember MySpace Music? Those were the days. And somebody picked me up and started setting my poems to instrumentals, and we formed a musical act together and signed a record deal, and I moved down to London. And it all happened very quickly, and I was living in London at the age of 20 with all this expectation on me. I was signed to the biggest record label in the world. They were trying to make me a pop star. Obviously, it didn't work out. Are you looking at a pop star? No. But I was just a kid from Wakey, right? And it got into my head. And I used to go to this bar called Slim Jim's Liquor Store every day. So this is about that. Old school jukebox. Crimson cracked leather stools, bare brick walls and neon lighting. Bras on the ceiling, exchanged for the fizz. An open door policy to all who like it hard and fast. Outside, Islington. Smokers shielding squinting eyes. Inside, oblivion. Flipping beer mats in solitude. Cyclists and cabbies, hostage to the heat. Flight mode and Bombay drowning in defeat. My housemates swing by, try and get me to leave with them. They know that I had therapy today at 2 p.m, a job that neither wanted, reluctantly they goed, forced to watch a car crash from the centre of the road. LA woman, light my fire, play it dumb and fight desire, backdoor man, break on through, Mr. Mojo, may construe. No natural light, no clocks, no clue, a finger down the throat says I'll last till two, love me two times, break on through, Mr. Mojo, may construe. And I fall down, down and out, but I love this place. And I drink here from 3 p.m. till, come on fella, let's be off, till eyes glaze over and concrete feels soft. I'm 20 and I'm petrified, I'm levered and I'm lost, fleeing from reality regardless of the cost. Down and out in London, tumbler in my hand, fumbling through a summer that I'll never understand. A wallet stuffed with customer copies of card receipts, a clammy forehead, 10 voicemails, a masterful purveyor of good times, the best. And I fall down, down and out, but I love this place.
Cheers.
Thank you. I recently became, well, I say recently, it feels recently, just over 2 years ago, I became a dad. So I'm going to read a short poem about that. Also, I just realised I've just done a rhyming poem at a literary festival, which is a bit of a faux pas. If you're at a literary festival, poems don't rhyme. If you're at a music festival, they have to rhyme. I don't know where I am, to be honest. Right, here we go. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm rhyming. Oh, you can feel people going, not you. I mean, like the poetry police who are like sat up there. Hi, Jack Underwood. The box tumbles open on the mustard rug. Wooden shapes in primary colours, 20 of them strewn. And the lamp's on by the bookcase because daylight's only creeping, and I marvel as his tiny fingers align, rotate. He used to be terrible at this, properly dreadful, just an aimless claw jamming L-shape into four-point star, but now they're slotting through at 3 or 4 per minute. And I wonder how long it'll be before I won't need to guide the box. Sometimes he holds me, copper locks, chocolate drop eyes, dangled by ankles. On the TV, he ignores the cartoons that illuminated my childhood. The original series of Fireman Sam, Gerry Anderson's Thunderbirds. But who needs screens when all these shapes are hopelessly discarded? And who needs sleep past 5 a.m. when he claps himself and giggles? I am so violently, suffocatingly, terrifyingly in love with him. Just to hoist him up for a wriggly cuddle is the cream on any day. Upstairs, 10 feet away, his mother snoozes, body replenishing after moonlit feeds. I am dizzy with the daily trials, delirious with awe, as his tiny fingers lift shape 19 and they're slotting in so quickly. It feels like I'm bowing, but I'm not. I'm just picking up my paper, I promise. I'm not being that self-indulgent. Right, okay, I want to do this one. So I do a lot of work in... I'm just going to check my time as well. You can't be a host and run over. You can't, right. I'm going to finish with this one, I think, because it's 10 past and we want to move on to a range of poems. Okay, I might do 2 very quick ones, but I promise you, when I say quick, I mean quick. I've been doing a lot of work in schools recently. I do a lot of work in schools around Calderdale and around Bradford. And the warm-up activity that I always set is to describe your favourite place using the senses. So pick a location in the world that means something to you and describe it using the senses. And I was doing this in November in Halifax, and a little girl put her hand up and said, can I write about Palestine? Because that's where I'm from. And I was like, absolutely, of course you can. And, well, this is a poem. On the corner table in a year 6 classroom, she's an architect of dreams. She's bulldozing reality. Through dense clouds of dust, she squints to decipher the Byzantine tiles' bountiful orchards. She is building that which can never be recovered and can never be destroyed. One day we'll live there, she smiles as she scribes, her stanzas arousing Freshnan's sea air. At break time, her classmates all canter outside. She clings to her barrel, flinches at the bell. Cheers. So, are you ready for another poet? Are you excited for another poet? Yes, of course you are. Yes. Somebody competent and articulate. Absolutely. Stop being self-deprecating. You're hosting an event. You can't be self-deprecating when you're hosting an event. I'm a host now. Okay. Right, here we go. So, our next poet is Tasneem Ziada. A perfectly calm storm on the spoken word scene, Tasneem Ziada is a published Palestinian-British writer. Her work explores the generational stories that rise to the surface within her own. Having started out on the London spoken word scene in 2015, her work has travelled internationally, featuring at festivals including Shubak, Bloomsbury, Pal Art. Her accolades include sold-out workshops and podcasting, including voicing a character in George the Poet's podcast. And her debut collection is in the post. It's on the way. It is being cooked. So please give a huge round of applause to Tasneem Ziada.
Thank you. It's really weird to hear your intro, like your bio being read out to you, because I'm always shocked. I'm like, I wrote that. It's weird. Hi. I feel a bit emotional, I guess. I don't know why. It's so funny being a poet and being uncomfortable with emotions. It's really refreshing to still hear Palestine being on the tongues of everyone and still being at the forefront of people's minds. I've been performing for at least 9 years, and I think with the hypervisibility since October, and hearing Palestine a lot, whereas prior to that, I would read my poems and you would hear Palestine in it, but I think there's something really beautiful about how other perspectives connect to where home is for me. That being said, this first poem is called Swing. Swing. How many times are we going to be here? Again, with this battle with your mind. Is it your favorite fight? Not televised punches, just this spiral you have memorized, hitting you and you hitting it. And each time you swing, you miss. Out and sustaining passion, because of your addiction to furious short fuse ignition, fragilely contained within a depression. You swing again and again, forever missing the spiritual peace within your body's occupation. Hearing the whispers of war crimes as you sleep, heaviness in your subconscious heaps. Scroll, scroll, and yet what you touch is not scripture. The news reports a scrambled message. Didn't Malcolm warn you of where the truth is denied? People claiming liberal but failing to condemn genocide. Stand again. Weren't you always the champ? Carrying babies for miles on your back when homes were no fly zones. Crazy how we're here again. But it's not bombs or bullets making my feet jump to a swing beat, but the dance to survive against mental defeat. Thank you. Feel free to join us if you want. I feel like you had no other option because I just singled you out if you want to. There's loads of seats. This next piece is called Vital Organs. I adore your kind eyes. Like mine, they squint through rain to see the colors of light souls colliding with hearts worth more than material. I am your rib, arms outstretched to curve around and protect vital organs. I know I give you trouble, shooting pains down your left arm and chest where your treasure lies, my head. Kind eyes are the closest you'll ever get to crying, because it was the last thing you shared with blood before you knew they were dying. Memories as warm as the sand of Baghdad's 1950s. Your sisters and mama and baba made home outside of a home there. The first generation of a Nakba begins. I know I give you trouble. You tell me I don't appreciate. I understand. As a man, how often is it you get to raise a family when you're a refugee? Status chasing papers and validity. I came right on time. Home never seemed fragile because I never felt bombs rock me to sleep as my mama sang a lullaby and a prayer. It never felt so urgent because you're always there. Sacrifices, I never knew real sacrifices, because there's a difference between living life present and being ruled by the past's truth. So rather, it's not a sacrifice, but a reality I choose to take. I can't hold you forever and feel your buried pain. In the same boat, for tears are one thing my eyes cannot contain. Dripping down, they'll fill our mobile home, causing us to drown in our deepest, bluest sorrows. There's still hope, for wisdom, for your wisdom has kept you afloat. I look up to your kind eyes, eyelashes, like arms outstretched, beating away to unhardened hearts. I see blue skies. I'll test these waters in search for shores. Baba, I can swim. You can let your daughter go. So I grew up in a town called Slough. That doesn't usually get me any claps. But it's referenced because I'm really proud of growing up there. Even though I haven't been back for 10 years. I moved to London, and there's probably some therapy I can do about that at some point in life. This poem is called Caliban. After Shakespeare's play The Tempest, there's a character in there called Caliban. Dan made a song called Minir Habi in 2001. After Iraq, I heard that word thrown like a brick. But we didn't engage because Mama and Baba made home outside of a home here. The third generation of a Nakba lives in Slough. We found out our history and triggers by accident. They said, never forget. But as TV screens got wider, buildings falling and Arab bodies piling became the backdrop of my upbringing. In year three, Jasmine asked me, why are Muslims bad? Enter Caliban, who's introduced as a savage, deformed slave. His mother from Algiers, called a witch, and father rumored to be the devil. I remember seeing Mama cry for the first time when they assassinated Sheikh Ahmed Yassin in his wheelchair with Hellfire missiles. With immigrant kids that slipped under Prevent's radar, conspiracy theories at wet break yelling, Bush did 9/11 so they could justify terrorism. And if you stand under a tree in the evening, jinns will chase you to silence in class. White teachers felt akin to the BBC. Whatever I say had to be PG, politically guided. Trying to learn my voice in quiet. Mama and Baba said, study something where they'll need you. A new generation of lawyers and doctors ready to litigate and heal in front of Dubois' veil. Suspected terrorists when they look at us. We argue too much. Zidane said, I'm French when I score and Algerian when I miss. I'm a poet for the stage and Palestinian when they're fundraising. Do they really want poetry or a rhythm to complement the night? You taught me language and profit on it. What's the point of words when you have to hide their truth for grant applications? Sponsors used to our truth being abstract. Sponsors used to our truth being abstract, so they think it's pretty, so they think it's inspiring, so they think it's worth funding. Doing their part for the community as if to say, look at where you come from, and now you're here. As if it's a gift. Hell is empty, and all the devils are here. This last poem is a short one. It's called How We Love. And I want to thank the organizers of this event. So thank you guys. And thank you to my fellow host and poet. I'm really honored to be with you guys to share my poetry outside of my bubble in London. And with the cool sound effects of the wind, it's given it that extra, you know, ambiance. This is called How We Love. How we love is how the heart squeezes to pump reasons for you to live. Like holding hands when crossing borders, carrying home in your womb and shoulders. Refugees pack reasons to live. embracing with our palms, prayers, and marks of baggage instead of loved ones. Opening our grip to hold God's promise for easy returns to eternal gardens and muscle memory in the bodies of grandchildren who are born balling fists. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Just one more round of applause, please, for Tasneem Ziada. Thank you so much. That was wonderful. She'll keep an eye out eagerly for the collection. She'll keep an eye out eagerly. I feel like it's the perfect metaphor, really, as a venue, because I know that it's secure and I know we're fine, but I also feel like we're just clinging on. It's a kind of like, yeah. Okay, so our third and final poet is Ralph Dartford. What can I say about Ralph Dartford? Ralph Dartford was the founder of the influential poetry collective, a firm of poets, which toured, which I was part of as well. I'm pretending to be a host. I'm reading it for the first time. Ralph and I were in a poetry collective called A Firm of Poets, which toured around the country with poets including Holly McNish and Zena Edwards and Luke Wright and many more. Ralph's debut pamphlet, Cigarettes, Beer and Love, was published with Ossett Observer in 2013. His debut collection, Recovery Songs, was out on Valley Press in 2019 and has kicked off a trilogy. So Recovery Songs was 2019, Hidden Music was 2021, and then House Anthems is coming later this year around November time to complete the trilogy on Valley Press. Ralph is the poetry editor at Northern Gravy and is studying a PhD in creative writing at the University of Huddersfield. Please welcome to the stage, Ralph Dartford.
Afternoon, everyone. My God, it's lovely to see. I haven't seen Matt on a stage together for 7 years, so that's quite an emotional feeling. God, it's windy, isn't it? Nice sandwich. What did you have? Cheese. I was just noticing these things. I'm Ralph. I'm from Bradford. I'm the local poet, I guess. I'm going to read some poems from the new collection, House Anthems, which is a collection about England and also tragically about the passing of my younger brother, Joe, who died a couple of years ago. The book started out as a collection about England, but then he died and things kind of changed, and I realised, kind of, as I was writing, I was writing about him. Anyway, this poem's called The Morning Prayer, and it's kind of got a double meaning. It was meant to be about mourning, but I kind of was thinking about it, and I was thinking about this morning and the day it is. It's election day, and we've all got out if we want to. Go out and do our thing. This is called the morning prayer. On days of rain, I set sour their names, the ones I love. It's a torrent in my palm. Here, the rapids can engulf my absolute blue canoe. Here, my surfacing is at risk. This murdered worst of the years, where the undertow brews before a breaking dawn, are the moments when that love must conjure and plead. You really have no choice. Thank you. Although I live here in Bradford, I've lived in Bradford for 7 years, and I lived in West Yorkshire for nearly 20 years. I'm from Essex. I'm from a place called Basildon, just outside of London, even though I lived in London for many years. I don't know if any of you have been to Basildon. It's an interesting, tough place. There's a great film called New Town Utopia, which tells the story of artists trying to work in that kind of concrete kind of enclave of Basildon. And it was a tough place growing up. This is a poem about how I got from, it's about many things, this poem, but this poem is about how I got from there in Essex to here in Bradford. And it's called Shame, and it's for the dancers. It's for the dancers. I've tried to outstep the shame of this. Even now, the guilt piles high like records racked on an old dance set. I was a youth lost in a bedroom mirror, my James Brown moves flickering light bulbs, fueling hate in the building site politics of my father. For this, I became his family secret, the boy who surrendered to the funk and darkness of Blues and Soul magazine, the cutouts of Evelyn Champagne King sellotaped to my wall. At after-school discos, I'd be staring at Floyd, poured burnt treacle in a woolen hat, the most beautiful body, the greatest dancer I had ever seen. He would beckon me over to join him, to share our gyrations. I was good, very good, but never authentic. How could I be? Lectured in the rudiments of old Enoch, I walked away into the Basildon contradictions of 1977. Punk rock or the National Front? It was a question of belonging. My confusion carried me to libraries from Colin McInnes to Martin Luther King. Reciting the revolution will not be televised, I operated inside the black and white. I routinely invaded the southern suburbs, protesting reasons for those wounded by a lack of love, justice, and connection. Some mornings, returning home, meeting their eyes, I faced down the family I loved through blood, but never tolerating their traditions. And here, this afternoon, I am older in a once industrial city called Bradford, swooning to the music that took me, that partially unlocked a life. I stand still from my window, gazing soft on these streets, wanting to dance with every Floyd, to share our spins, our moments lost in mirables, backflips and tepid lemonade. I can't do it. The heavy feet of our histories still sink me beneath the floor. How do I share the shame of nurture? Am I late? Thank you. Strange time being in Bradford, isn't it? All this craziness going on, just madness. Roads being dug up, politics, elections, everything's going wrong. It's not going wrong, it'll be all right in the end. I'm a little bit disappointed about Marks and Spencer's closing, though. I don't know, you, nods, yeah? You know, you'd always a better cheese sandwich at Marks and Spencer's. I loved Marks and Spencer's. It was such a part of my growing up. You know, in Basildon, my mum loved it so much. My mum, she was like, she always said, you know, you can't beat Marks and Spencer's for quality and value. It was amazing. She'd be there all the time. You know, at Christmas, there'd be like boxes of oranges. There'd be, you know, socks everywhere, chocolates, everything. She loved Marks and Spencer's, me mum. She loved it so much. She was a brilliant shoplifter. Of all the things my mother said, this is for my mother. Of all the things my mother said, her final words meant most. She was sat in her kitchen, stick thin, cigarette in, beautiful, a touch of Basildon still. She looked me in the eye, lifted her glass, as red as blood and as heavy as the years. She fixed her eyes firmly upon mine and said, "Go and do everything, my son. Don't change. Don't stop. Never know your place." And that was the problem. Try and earn a bit of money being a poet and stuff like that. But people like us three, we have to kind of embellish our literary careers through doing other pieces of work, trying to keep it closely connected to the field we're in. I work for the National Literacy Trust in criminal justice, and I work in prisons, and I take authors in, and writers and rappers and people to try and get people writing and listening, prisoners, young men. Before that, I worked in a place called an approved premises. It's a fantastic job. I was working with these people who were released on license, young men, to try and give them a chance of assimilating into life and making a good go of themselves. And I loved that job so much. And just one day I was working there, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had to give someone some medication. This poem is from the new collection, House Anthems. It's called Jumping Trains. They call this room the pod. Outside, it's slatted, curved, a brown tortoise shell. Inside, I distribute betazabine, tramadol, and methadone to the rapists, the murderers, and others. Sometimes it is silent. Sometimes we will talk. Yesterday morning, I was with Y. He takes a cocktail for his brain, his bones, and his back. There is no family, no money, no hope of staying. Now, why? He thinks he's set for Rwanda or a return to a prison cell. No one seems to care about him. Often, he sits alone weeping in the garden. I ask him about his journey from Eritrea to West Yorkshire. I jumped a train at Calais, under the tunnel in the cold. At home in Eritrea, jumping trains was easy. Town to town, track to track. It was as simple as tying a shoelace, as natural as taking a step. Why says other parts of the journey were not so easy? 18 days walking through the desert, 60 men, women, children, and dogs. 18 days and 18 dead, starved, dehydrated, slashed or shot. Days and nights without an end. Someone in the lounge is coughing. Someone is knocking at the door. Yes, jumping trains was easy. I note that his right foot has only three toes. Just do two more. Okay. Can't ignore it. Election, football. It's crazy, isn't it? What a strange, what a time to be alive. I remember. I just remember the kind of the last Euros and the kind of the final and the way the country was feeling. It was very, very strange. It was this massive proudness, but there was also this kind of element of like things were a bit nasty, a bit kind of I don't know, just not right. The wrong side of being nationalistic. Anyway, the title of this poem is taken from a Sex Pistols song. It's called England's Dreaming, and it's just a vision I had one day. I was talking to Gareth Southgate only this morning about having my weekly train ticket on my phone. He said that I made a sensible choice. He was also pleased that I make a ham and pickle sandwich for my lunch, although he suggested the occasional scotch egg. We skipped down the lane to the station. July's cornflowers choking July's Pope poppies to death again. Our hands were almost touching. Gareth sniffed at the horizon, told me that rain can appear knowing on the days we fall in love. It can be warm, cool, or lush, a comfort inside our madness. We both recited some poetry to each other of Alderstrop, birds, and Gloucestershire. I asked him about the three lads who took the penalties. He said he was trying to make a point. It's really great to be working on Election Day. We're doing an event this evening called Poetry with a Punch at the Alhambra, which is a big event, and it's kind of really kind of got a lot of energy and a lot of spice to it. But it's lovely being here on election lunchtime. In 2019, I think in 2017, Matt, we did a project called Firm Against Apathy. Was it too soon? We tried to get young people to vote at that time. It was a great poetry project. It's one of our best nights we ever did. It didn't change the result of the election, but we had a really, really good... We had politicians, pop stars. Louise Mensch from the Conservative Party did a little film for us. And it was great. But the last election, 2019... I did a bit of campaigning up in Bottershaw, not far from where I live, for the Labour Party, and it was a dreadful day. I don't know if you remember it. It was pouring down with rain. It just didn't. It was never ever going to happen. And I liked. If you're going to vote, I hope you do vote. Just vote for people who are more vulnerable than yourself. And I think that's the most important thing. When I voted this morning, I was proud to vote. I'd like to dedicate this poem to a friend of mine called Faith, who's in the audience, who's young and really switched on. This is what happened 4 years ago. This poem's called The Vote. Thursday afternoon, and I'm walking home. Not far, just down the hill from the campaign. Bottershaw, South Bradford, the north. The weather is hard and splintered, a mist of mustard. The traffic is angry, the streets the colour of beer. It was in these moments that I knew it was over. The woman said it was the immigrants. The boy who told me to F off back to London. The weak coffee, the stale biscuits of yesterday. I sat and counted hours, hunted Twitter for clues. But I saw it in the rain, the arched backs of old men. Yes, I saw it in the rain, the faces accepting of lies. Thanks very much. Thank you to my fellow poets. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Thank you so much for coming along to Sonnets and Sarnies. Another round of applause for Tasneem and Ralph. Thank you very much. And my name's been Matt. Have a lovely day, have a lovely festival, and get out there and vote. Cheers.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Explore Words, Discover Worlds podcast, presented by Bradford Literature Festival. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe, share this episode with others, and leave a rating. Mark your calendars for the return of Bradford Literature Festival on Friday the 27th of June to Sunday the 6th of July 2025.